you know, when you want to be Muslim, again, this is not about implementing it all yourself to 100% and all.
No, that's not what we're talking about here.
It is about implementation. So Islam is not just about, you know, knowing the rules or just knowing the aqaid. It's actually implementing Islam in your life.
Yes.
You know, to the extent that you are capable in terms of who you are in society and your position and your capabilities and your level of knowledge and so on.
If you have faith in something, it has to have a manifestation.
So we talked about how there's a big difference between somebody who acknowledges all of Islam the way it is in the Quran and the way it is in the Sunnah, but says that certain parts of it, I don't have the power to do it.
Exactly.
Versus somebody who denies, outright denies certain parts of Islam, even accepting other parts of it. Or who says La ilaha illallah and, you know, says the Shahadatain and yet, you know, denies things like, well, you know, we really don't have prayers five times. You know, just, you know, every now and then during the day, you know, chill out and think about God, that's enough. So, yeah, I mean, we were talking about the fact that, you know, Islam is a package deal.
Exactly.
And this is important, okay? Don't deny it.
Exactly.
As a package deal. It doesn't mean you have to implement all of it yourself in your personal life as an individual or that you have the capability of doing it. That's not what we're saying. We're saying don't deny it as a package deal.
Well, this is why, you know, we have this facility, if you like, within Islam to have the complete package, which is your oath of allegiance, isn't there? Because this bayah is not simply about, oh, you know, just for the sake of saying, well, you know, I acknowledge you as a leader or something to that effect. Because in Islam, this means something entirely different. This is a manifestation of your belief,
right.
So that you're covered. You're basically covered.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, in terms of law, you know, I don't have the Latin, but you know exactly what I'm referring to. So, you know, this is what we're seeing here. You know, that's something entirely different from somebody who completely denies it.
Right. So the important point that I'm trying to make and that I want to point out is that, you know, you can't deny certain parts of it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you have to be the one, you know, implementing the hudud or the qisas punishment, or you have to be the one.
No, that's for the state.
Right.
Know?
That's a different issue.
Issue. Yeah.
Just don't deny it. Don't say it's not part of Islam or it's no longer part of Islam.
Yeah. As you said, you know, like somebody who says, well, you know, I deny prayer. I don't think we should pray five times.
Or, you know, the ritual prayer, that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Or that says, no, what it meant in the Quran and what they mean is that you just, you know, who says you have to do rakat and you have to do ruku and sujood. And,
sure.
You know, don't deny it. That's the point.
Very good point.
Even if you're not going to do it, don't deny it.
Don't deny it.
Okay? Because that is part of Islam.
It is.
Okay? Just like, you know, jihad is part of Islam.
Exactly.
Don't deny it. Don't say, you know, we don't have jihad in Islam. We do have jihad in Islam. It's on the same level as prayer
and all the other.
If you want to take it from the other side, don't deny that there is, you know, zakat and khums.
Khums, yes.
Okay? Don't deny it.
Mm.
You might not pay it.
But it's there.
But it's there. Don't say it's not there.
No.
Okay? So this is the point, and this is the beautiful thing, one of the beautiful things about Imam, is, and this is the job as somebody who is a religious leader,
yes,
especially in the Qibla, is to point out to people where they are, you know, not where they're starting to, you know, stray from the path.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
That's his job. It's his job to say to you, you know what, your interpretation that, you know, we don't have to have qisas and hudud because of the Charter of the Human Rights. Your understanding of Islam is an incorrect one.
Exactly.
That's his job.
That's his job.
He has to say that to you.
Mm-hmm. He has to correct it.
Right. Because that's not, you know, it doesn't say you do qisas and hudud or you execute a murderer, you know, if the UN approves. That's not what it says in the Rivayat.
That's right. That's a very good way of putting it. Exactly.
That's not what it says.
No,
it says in the Quran.
I didn't see, you know, like alif, lam, meme, and then UN.
Right.
No, it doesn't work like
that. We don't have Surah
like
UN, right?
Don't have
right? So, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, you do maslahat, you try to work, you know, with the realities that exist in the world at that time, but you don't deny, you know, a basic aspect of your religion.
Well, I mean...
And you see, this is the thing. Laws, ahkam, are a basic part of Islam.
Exactly.
Anybody who denies them as a concept or individually
is out of the pale of Islam.
You can't deny Ahkam. Mm. This is the problem that we have. Our view of religion is so influenced by the Western.
Yes, that's true. It is influenced
and by
very
this
much,
kind
yeah.
of neutered.
Neutered, yes.
You know,
I like that word.
Christian. Mm. In the last couple of centuries, the way it became, of where secularism took over, and you know, Christianity was just, you know, on Sunday, and if you just be a good person, yeah, and you know, don't get too involved about laws. Mm. And that's where the Jews. That's the Old Testament. We're New Testament. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yes.
As though, what, the Ten Commandments are not.
You know? Yeah, I'm not applicable anymore.
Right. I mean.
Yeah.
I'm just saying as an example.
Yeah, right? Of course. I mean, that's what we're saying.
You know that usury is illegal in according to the Bible.
Of course it is, right. And so is drink, so is alcohol as well. I've seen passages where, you know, it is said that anyone who drinks alcohol or practices usury or gambling shall never enter the kingdom of heaven, never.
Okay.
Okay. So it's real serious stuff here. You know?
Yeah. It's not like, you know.
Yeah. It's not like a.
Well, by the way.
Yeah. By the way. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You know that according to the Bible, you have to forgive all debts every 7 years.
Exactly.
Did you know that?
Thank you. Yes.
If somebody owes you money after 7 years, you have to forgive them.
You have to forgive them. Yes.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
You know, we have it.
I hope my 7 years is up.
You don't owe me anything.
You know, thank you.
Right, yes, I forgive you.
Thanks very much indeed, sir.
So,
you know, there's great benefit in discussing this subject. Yes.
So,
exactly.
Okay. Mm. You can't deny laws from religion. You can't separate laws from religion.
No.
A big part of religion, all religions, is laws.
Laws.
Now, what happened in Christianity in the West is that they tried to separate it.
Yes.
And say, well, that part is the state and Caesar. Mm. Unto Caesar, what is Caesar?
Unto Caesar, that's a very,
you know, whatever. All that
famous
stuff.
Misquote of right. Prophet Jesus, peace be upon
right.
him, because I'm sure he never said such a thing.
Right. Yeah. And so the point is that when a person like Imam comes, and again, for us in Ghaibat Kubra, in the period of the Greater Occultation, his word is authority. It's Hujjah.
Hujjah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, because I want to quote a verse from
the
Quran.
He's our religious leader.
Exactly. We want to quote a verse from the Quran here, which makes it clear cut. If you have a problem, you have to obey God, you have to obey the Prophet, and you have to obey those who have authority over you.
Right. Which in our case, in this
in
case,
our cases,
we're talking about people who have authority in line of God and the Prophet.
Prophet, exactly.
So it's not whoever has authority over you,
yeah,
which is unfortunately one of the ways that some of the
Muslims
are interpreting
that. I'm misabusing
that
this, yes.
You know, you can't follow God and the Prophet and then somebody who is the polar opposite of that.
A polar opposite of that.
You
exactly.
know, that God would not command you to that.
No.
This is not what God would say in his Quran.
No.
If he wants you to
neither
follow
mentioned
you.
The UN either. You know, so, right. Yes.
You know, or you know, whoever.
Whoever, yes.
So, this is one of the great things that Imam was teaching us,
exactly.
And he was able to establish this very firmly, is in an era and in a time where humanity was getting very confused about,
yes,
you know, what is religion?
What is religion?
It's,
yes.
Is it just this emotional thing, which is what Christianity had become, this thing that's just related to, you know, when you feel sad or when you feel happy or giving praise and, you know, asking for grace, whatever, okay? Or is it actually, you know, a package, a real thing that is there to because, you know, we've said this before and it really is good if we keep reading. What is Islam? Islam is the package, the software, the operational program that Allah has given for the perfection of your soul.
Soul. Thank you.
What do I mean? Your soul, that means you, because that's what you are.
Yes, exactly.
This body will go.
Yes.
You know, this body is not you.
No.
It's the vessel in which your soul is developing for the next, inshallah, 100 years.
Yes.
One day it will, you know, turn into dust.
Mm-hmm.
Your soul is eternal.
Eternal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the religious view of a human being.
Being, yes.
And when I say religious, I don't only mean Islam. I mean all those, you know, major religions, Abrahamic religions, whatever you want to call them, monotheistic religions.
Yes.
Even non-monotheistic religions, even some parts of Hinduism, whatever, you are a soul. It's eternal.
That's right.
Okay? This body is a vessel.
It's a vessel.
Okay. So what is Islam? It's Deen al-Haq.
Hmm.
You know, it says the religion with God is al-Islam. This is what the ayah says.
Says. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, this is... It says the religion within the love.
In the love.
Right? It means yes. With God.
With God.
The religion with God, the one that is with God, is Al-Islam.
Islam.
It's not Islam. Al-Islam.
Islam. And this is why we say it's not Christianity, it's Islam.
Right? Because they say, well, totally Islam different. Isn't that a general term? It means, you know, those who submit, isn't that what all religions were? And we're like, yes.
Yes.
If we say Islam in the sense that, you know, those who submit to God, yes. You know, Prophet, you know, Adam, Prophet, you know, Nuh,
sure.
Prophet Abraham, you know, Moses, Jesus, whatever.
Yeah.
These are all Islam.
Islam.
But Al-Islam Islam. Is this one.
This one, the package.
The one, the final revelation.
Yes.
You know, the Deen al-Haq, which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the Quran and in his Sunnah, okay,
yes.
Following Thaqalain,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So, this, what is this Islam, Al-Islam? It is a package for your perfection. Part of that package are rules.
Mm.
Ahkam.
Yes.
As it relates to you as a person,
rulings,
individual,
yes,
and as it relates to society.
Society.
In fact, one of the beautiful things that Imam used to always point out, he said, the relation in among the rules of Islam, and remember, Imam Khomeini was a faqih. He was a legal scholar.
Yeah, legal scholar.
He was a marja.
Yes.
He has books Velayat and books and books and books.
Supreme jurist.
And books as a jurist.
Mm.
So he's not simply, you know, a guy who gets up on the member and, you know, does rosé.
No,
you know,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is not a bad thing. I'm simply saying
No,
that.
No, but he's the expert.
His field of
expertise was law.
Okay? He's a mufti. He's somebody who issues fatwas.
Fatwas.
Okay? So a part of that package, a very important part of that package, is laws. And as Imam was pointing out, which is the important thing that we have to remember, is that he said the relation within laws, Islamic laws, the relation between laws that relate to society
mm-hmm.
and laws that relate to an individual is 100-1 on the side of society.
Society, yes, exactly.
Because because of the Western influence and because of, you know, the negative influence that came from imperialism and cultural imperialism,
sure.
You know, we wanted to turn Islam into what Christianity had become, which is this personal thing, and forget about Islam, the social...
As the social thing.
And the social aspects of Islamic laws.
Sure.
You know, let the government deal with that.
Mm.
You know, the government who will get together in their parliaments and, you know, decide what is... The wise men will get together and, you know, tell us what the laws are. And so one day, you know, having... Two men being married is illegal, and the next day it's legal. For example. I'm just giving an example.
Yeah, no. I mean, exactly.
You know, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, that's not the case in Islam.
No, it's
Islam
not.
Has rules for society. When you have somebody who's a murderer,
mm-hmm.
proven to be so in a trial, where there's, you know, appeals and multiple appeals, and there's strict rules of evidence, and there's
mm-hmm.
all the things that... all legal scholars consider to be a proper judicial procedure. After this proper judicial procedure has ended and there is a final verdict that this person is guilty of murder, then there is an execution.
Exactly.
Okay? And no parliament can change that.
No. No.
Okay?
Yeah, just because of an election.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, certain definitions of what a family is,
mm.
those are the definitions of what a family is.
Exactly.
And, you know, I just want to point out here, I think for the people for our listeners in the West and the Western Muslims, this is interesting. We suddenly see everybody going nuts. Oh, no, you know, for example, you know, same-sex marriages. Oh, that's also marriage.
Mm.
So why not, you know, a man and three women, you know, as in the Islamic, or,
yes,
or a man and four wives?
Well, why is that?
Again, we're talking about consenting adults, each one choosing
exactly.
to do this. Now, we're not talking about forced marriages, which is un-Islamic.
Yes.
Forcing anyone into a marriage
is
un-Islamic.
No,
it's against Islamic laws, and you will be punished
for
it.
As consenting adults, which is what they refer to in terms of this
right.
gay marriage.
I'm using the same standard. The same standard.
Mm-hmm. Why is
this bad and that's good?
Good.
They say, well, it's a marriage is between two people. So who said?
Who said?
If you look at the history of humanity,
we didn't have
that. The majority form of marriage has between one man and multiple wives.
Multiple.
That's actually been the main way that people have been married. If you look at throughout history, and if you look at different, you know, groups
cultures?
Around the world,
yeah.
and groups around, that's actually been the dominant way of having marriage.
Exactly.
And families.
Yes. And the chief normally had the most women.
Right. And that's why Islam came and reduced it. The four
reduced
is reducing it.
He had to reduce it.
Right? It's not about... you know, people are like, oh, why are you guys talking about this stuff? We're talking about the fact that you have this Deen al-Haq. It's a package deal. It's there for the perfection of your soul. Perfection of your soul, a big part of the perfection of your soul relates to your social life and your family life.
Exactly.
And how you interact in your society and your community and your nation and the world.
Absolutely.
It's not about you just being in your, you know, quiet corner with your, you know, oil lamp, you know, doing prayers.
Yes.
That's not what it's all about only. Yes, that is a part of the perfection of your soul, doing your ibadat, doing your prayers with God. Okay? But there's other aspects to it. This is where Islam comes in and talks about that. Okay? A person like Imam Khomeini, who is a religious authority, whose word is hujjah in the Ghibat Kubra for us, says, you can't have this cafeteria, like you mentioned very nicely, this cafeteria Islam. Let me just explain cafeteria. There's a term in the West called cafeteria Catholic.
Yes.
Because they were referring to Catholics who would, as though they are in a cafeteria where they can pick and choose whatever food that they want and put it on their tray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where the expression comes from, is that you go into a cafeteria
and you just choose whatever
a buffet, whatever
you
want to call it.
Whatever you prefer.
And you just put things on your plate.
And you're
this
is
what I like from Catholicism. You know, the abortion, no, let's have the abortion. You know?
Yes.
And so this term came about in Catholicism. You can't be a cafeteria Catholic. It's a full package.
It's a full package.
So you can't be a cafeteria Muslim.
No.
And say, you know what, I like the prayer part, I like the fasting part. I don't like the jihad part. Don't tell me to go to jihad.
Yes.
And it's interesting, we have many ayat where it says, you know, the minute the command of jihad comes to you, you start making excuses. Your eyes start rolling. You get this, you know, these are ayat from the Quran. These are not things.
And doesn't God condemn?
And he says, you haven't
done
that.
Doesn't he condemn that if you don't turn up in the battlefield to fight for your religion?
Right. He says, you know, the color of your face, the color of your face changes.
Mm.
You suddenly start making excuses.
I pray to God our faces don't change any color.
Again,
because
so
I really want to go 11.
We're addressing this first
yes,
and foremost
I really
to ourselves.
Go 11. I want to get there as quickly as possible.
Well, there might be other battles.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm saying that, you know.
I'm
we're,
so happy to hear that.
We're addressing this in the first place to ourselves.
Yes.
We're not trying to say that we're
anyone. No, not by
the
any
point
means.
Is that, you know, this is what Imam was teaching us.
Mm.
He was saying that you can't be a Muslim and then deny criminal punishment for a murderer.
That's right.
Well, what does that mean? Okay, and you say, well,
isn't it
barbaric?
Eye for an eye, go for it. You know?
Listen, they go, well, isn't it barbaric these days? Why can't we just put him in jail?
Come on.
You know what the answer is? What's more barbaric? A person makes a mistake,
they're
whipped, half an hour, you take you whip them,
and that's it.
They go home. Or you take that person, you put them in jail for 2 years.
2 years.
They lose their job. They lose their insurance.
Mm.
The kids without the father.
Father.
The wife without the husband.
Husband.
Everything, the whole life of the family.
Is
even
ruined.
Even though it's, forget about 2 years, 6 months in prison.
6 months, yes.
The whole life of a family is destroyed.
Destroyed.
Because of the mistake of one person.
Person. That's not fair.
Is that not barbaric?
That is unjust.
What's more barbaric? The person goes, he gets his punishment, he puts on his shirt, goes back home.
Go home.
And maybe the only person that finds out is his wife.
Exactly.
Not even his children.
That's right, because we're supposed to maintain
not,
their
not
honor.
His dad or his
yeah,
father
exactly.
or his
we're
mother
supposed,
or his
yeah.
cousin or, you know, Uncle no, Lou and
whatever.
Uncle Jim. And,
yeah, we're supposed to still maintain
you know,
their
Aunt
honor.
Betty, whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's more barbaric?
Mm.
You're ruining the life of an entire family because of a mistake that one person made in the you know, so-called civilized, let's put him in prison.
Mm.
Forget about how long the trial takes. Forget
yeah,
about,
exactly.
You know, how
exactly.
everything is...
How torturous is that?
Listen, I'll give you an example.
Please.
There are truck drivers in the European Union, and they're poor fellas. You know, they're
yeah.
truck drivers. You know, they're
yeah.
not like rich guys.
Yeah.
Okay? And they'll go to the different borders, and some of these... smugglers will be like, okay, take this amount of cigarettes to this country because right? there's different.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, we'll give you this much amount of money if you take it across the border, especially France and Britain.
Britain, yeah.
Because they have different
yes.
rates.
Yes.
And they get busted. I'm talking about a, you know, maybe a quarter load of cigarettes in a truck. And then they catch him, and the guy goes to prison for a year as a smuggler. Right?
Yeah.
Is this civilized? The poor guy, he might have been desperate to get maybe €1,000 or £1,000.
Whatever,
pounds.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
His offense is, you know, cigarettes.
Cigarettes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a good thing, but also not horrendous. Horrendous. Not a huge catastrophe.
Catastrophe, yes.
But the law says you have to go to prison for a year or two, at least minimum.
Minimum, yes.
3 years, 4 years, depending
on. And loss of job.
You lose your job. You lose everything. Your entire life is ruined.
Ruined.
Is this civilized? Let me give you another example. Because they say, oh, execution, we don't execute anymore. Execution is uncivilized. Mm. It's for animals. Really? The guy in Norway.
Mm.
How many people did he kill?
90, I think.
Whatever.
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot.
40, 50, 60, 90.
90, yeah.
How much did he get?
I think it was 6 years. Ago.
20 years.
20 years, right.
Three square meals, internet access, TV.
Mm.
You know, jail in Norway is pretty decent.
Oh, is it? Is it? Oh.
You know, most people in the world would like to have that as their house. Right?
Right.
Most people on Earth would like to have Norwegian prison as the house that they live in.
Live in, yes.
Okay?
I'm sure they do.
So this hewan, this animal...
Oh, yes. Goes there.
Is going to go for 20 years.
And that's going to compensate.
And you know why? We don't have lifelong imprisonment in Norway. They said it's not civilized to you know, put a human being in prison for...
Yes, but what he did was a human, was it?
What about the family?
What about the justice? Where's
what
the
about
justice
the
in that? Yeah, exactly.
What about the
family? What about the 90
what
families
about,
that he's
What
ruined?
About the mothers and the fathers of those young people that he killed?
Yeah, and are orphaned.
We're not talking about Muslims. Don't think I'm...
No.
I'm
this
talking
is not
about,
Muslims.
This is normal...
Yeah, we just talk about...
As a mother and as a father.
Father, yeah. And the kids that he orphaned. Come on.
What about them?
What about them?
So they so that's civilized. Mm. Not killing him... Killing him is barbaric. Right?
Exactly.
So, this is the point we're
trying
to make.
This is the kind of perverse world we live in.
We've come to a point in this world, and thank God there was people like Imam.
Mm. To put this...
Who
corrected this.
You know, unapologetically,
yes,
were saying, this is wrong,
this
and
is
Islam is right.
Right.
Right? Logically right. What according to human nature is right.
Right.
What according to human conscience is right.
Right.
Not simply because I say so, it's right.
No.
Okay?
That's
We're not talking about, you know, this Taliban-style Wahhabi caricature organ-eating, you know, chopping off heads with a sword in the middle of the, you know, town square Islam. That's not what we're talking about.
Mm.
They would love us. They would love the world to think that that's Islam.
No.
You know, Imam had this other sentence. We've mentioned it before.
Yes.
You know, so it's we're talking about real Deen al-Haq, whether it's as it relates to these Wahhabi takfiri caricature of Islam, or whether it relates to this kind of wishy-washy Christianity that we have now, or this, you know, crazy kind of Zionist Judaism that we have.
Yes.
Okay, this racist, you know, dry, you know, just purely let's just obey the rules dryly without even thinking about them kind of, you know, Judaism that we have today, which is not the real, you know, it's not the religion of Moses. Okay,
that's
Zionism
true.
Is not the
religion. Zionism is not the religion of Moses.
Prophet Musa, peace be upon him, would not approve you know, building separate rows for.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
For his own children.
No.
Because, you know, Palestinians are, you know, children of Abraham.
Yeah, they are. They're part of the same progeny.
Right. They're cousins.
They're descendants.
You don't discriminate against your cousins.
No, you don't.
Right? So, this is why we have a person like Imam talking about real Deen al-Haq, about the real religion of God, the final revelation, you know, the real path to getting to God, as opposed to this caricature, as opposed to this wishy-washiness. He had this famous sentence. He said, we have to make a revolution so that, God forbid, people don't think that Islam is like Christianity.
Fantastic.
He said, we're Muslims. Of course we have to have a revolution. Of course we have to stand up to a tyrant and who's being backed by you know, a imperialist regime.
Regime, yes.
Okay? He said, so God forbid people don't think that Islam is like Christianity.
Exactly.
Okay? We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be, quote, civilized, where a person kills 50, 70, 80 people and then gets 20 years, you know, free meals. We don't want to be a place where a person makes a small mistake, where the father
perverse.
Of a family who is trying to support his kids, who is having difficult times. I mean, look at the lives we have today in Europe in terms of just, you mean we've lived there. Just as a man, as a husband, as a father, trying to support your family.
It's
how
very
difficult
hard.
Is it?
It is very hard.
Where you're not cheating, where you're not being,
it's very hard.
Stealing, where you're
not
doing fraud, you know, where you're not some you know, banker doing billion-dollar trades on the computer and, you know, ripping off the world, you know.
Yeah.
So the poor guy, he's a truck driver.
And the white-collar crime is never punished.
And they don't get the guy in the city of London or in Paris or in New York who's, you know, ripping off billions.
Ripping off billions.
You know, sending thousands and tens of thousands of people into the poorhouse because of the
and
stuff
making them
that he
homeless.
Does.
Yes,
right? And they get the guy who is smuggling, you know, whatever, 20 packets or 100 packets of cigarettes, and they put him in jail for 3 years.
Where's the justice in that?
That's civilized. Yeah. Okay, so that's civilization.
Yes,
we are the barbarians.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Is that
that's what they want us to think.
Is that the case?
No, it's not.
I would clearly submit that, yes, if you look at the Takfiri caricature, organ-eating, liver-cutting-out Islam, yes, they're no doubt they're barbarians.
Barbarians, yes.
But this, what Imam would taught us, this Islam, this complete package, where it includes everything. You know, jihad is not warmongering. Jihad is defending yourself.
Self.
It's justice.
It's justice.
This is what human
defending
nature
your rights.
Does. You
yeah.
defend your family. You defend your home. You defend your city.
Sure.
You defend your nation.
Sure.
Okay? This is what human beings do. Real human beings do these things.
Sure.
So I think that's really the bottom line, that we have to see this as a package. And thank God, we thank God that we have leaders and had leaders like Imam who taught us what real Islam is.
Dr. Mahdi Trabi, thank you very much indeed. On that note, that was a wonderful contribution there. I hope our listeners benefited from what we said, because there were some very, very important points in what you discussed there. But it just leaves me to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for listening.
Hello there, and welcome to The Light, a unique remnant of bygone days. Archaeologists have found a rare ancient Roman ceremonial carriage outside Pompeii. The carriage was unearthed near the stables of a village just outside the very city. It has four wheels and is made of iron, bronze, and tin. The vehicle is the first of its kind discovered in the area. Italy's culture minister has called it a unique find without any precedent in the country. Pompeii was buried under ash and a volcanic eruption in 79 AD. So far, about two-thirds of the ancient city has been uncovered, I should say. The lights, merriment, and traditional food. That's what China's Lantern Festival has brought to millions of people across the country.
Loneliness can hit anyone at any time, but it becomes severe during the pandemic-like scenario the world is going through. But some Japanese are enjoying the companionship of robots to overcome loneliness as they are unable to meet their loved ones during the coronavirus. The cute singing snowman is called Charlie. He is one among a large number of new generation clever robots being produced in Japan. Manufacturers are making a wide variety of affordable androids as well as robotic pets, and they say their sales are booming. They also say their products have found favor with customers of all ages, not just kids. Studies have shown that therapeutic pets can bring comfort to dementia patients.
Spring is coming, and blossoming flowers are once again creating stunning sceneries across China. Clouds of cherry blossoms have created breathtaking views in Wuhan, a city known for being the birthplace of COVID-19. Inside the city, the main university is one of the best places to enjoy those blossoms, being well known for that among the Chinese. Students are thrilled to enjoy the floral scenery after missing it last year.
As the pandemic has been well brought under control in China so far this year, residents in Wuhan City, as well as students, workers, and teachers of the university all come for the flowers and this warm spring.
In other cities, it is the plum flower that attracts a large number of visitors. They say the white-colored blossoms on mountains seem as if it had been snowing. Many of the tourists choose to stay in resorts that offer picturesque views of flowers. Many say they wait for a year so that they can draw a picture of the blossoms.
police across the globe are using new methods to prevent crime and improve their performance. Now, Pakistani police have come up with an idea to put officers on rollerblades to catch criminals in the commercial hub Karachi. The new armed rollerblading unit is going through rigorous training for over a month with the aim of curbing theft and harassment on the streets. During the training, they were seen carefully balancing on skates while leaping over staircases or lifting their guns. The unit, made up of 10 men and 10 women, would be sent to public places. The chief of the unit says rollerblades make chasing thieves on motorcycles through the city of 20 million much easier.
We felt we needed to come up with some innovative approach to control street crime in Karachi. We analyzed and saw that there are certain spots where crime incidents, say for example mobile snatching, are more frequent. We also saw that criminals use motorcycles that help them run away easily. At times, it is difficult for police teams to chase them from our vehicles.
The unit chief also says that officers would only carry handguns, while in some locations, such as shopping malls, they will not be armed at all. Officers say they can now reach narrow alleys very quickly, where it's usually difficult to go. The rollerblading police are expected to be deployed officially next month.
The coronavirus and related restrictions have forced many businesses to either close or struggle. But some people have found ways to save their jobs and help others to survive the crisis. A top German chef is the one. Peter Frusammer now prepares dishes at a hospital canteen outside Berlin. Frusammer says before accepting the job, he was the head chef at his wife's restaurant. But it was closed due to the pandemic, and he chose to be a hospital cook rather than a jobless man. This German chef says he is happy to find some distraction while working in a hospital kitchen, besides making a contribution to patients' recovery.
I find it frustrating to be here and see the empty tables and the empty restaurant. When I'm at the hospital, I don't notice any of this. For me, the coronavirus crisis doesn't exist at the hospital. Sure, corona is always a topic, but there, I'm at work and I'm busy. But when I come here, I notice what a cut is going through society. That's why I'm happy to have my hospital and to find some distraction. Here in the restaurant, I could actually sit down and start crying.
The hospital staff also seem happy with Frusammer's presence. They say since the arrival of the new chef, they come to eat in the canteen regularly and discover new dishes not eaten before. Frusammer believes the reason health workers and patients love his dishes is that he gives his heart and soul to the food.
Niagara Falls on the US-Canada borders is known for its spectacular timeless beauty, attracting tourists, especially during the summer. But this year's frigid temperature has created another spectacular scene at this natural wonder. Visitors to the New York side of the falls were treated with a remarkable view, as stream falling down the Niagara River is now crusted with ice. A rainbow adds more beauty, leading to the most amazing view of the falls. Every day, dozens of people help each other walk across icy stream to take a closer look at the beauty created by the extreme cold weather. More snowfall, low temperature have been predicted for the coming days, meaning people will have more time to enjoy the place.
For some people, it may take years to build a morning running habit. However, this very special runner seems very impatient in sticking to its daily running routine. The 2-meter-tall ostrich escaped its dwelling to run alongside vehicles on the streets of Beihai, South China. It even tried to keep up with a car's speed by jogging at a very fast pace. The bird's owner says it opened the gates of the farm it stayed in and escaped. He guided the fugitive bird back to the farm by covering his face with a red cloth. The video of the athlete ostrich went viral after its running was caught on traffic cameras.
Iran has inaugurated the Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition according to health protocols. The event is aimed at injecting fresh energy into the tourism industry, which has been badly affected by COVID-19 over the past year. Soman Kujuri reports.
Taiwan International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has been inaugurated according to health protocols announced by the National Headquarters for Coronavirus Control and following the necessary coordination with the relevant agencies in this field. According to organizers, visiting the exhibition in person will be controlled. Only a specific number of people are allowed to visit each day. Officials and experts believe Taiwan will achieve a tourism boom after the coronavirus outbreak, believing its impact would be temporary and short-lived for a country that ranked the third fastest-growing tourism destination in 2019.
Although we were under sanctions and at the same time corona pandemic badly affected tourism industry across the country, we have developed and completed many projects in the country during this period. We are very optimistic about the future of tourism industry in Iran because we believe good days are around the corner. Iran is a historically and culturally rich country with abundant attractions.
According to the latest data, 8 million tourists visited the Islamic Republic during the first 10 months of the past Iranian calendar year. Iran ranks first globally in terms of the number of handicraft cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council. The number of Iranian craft cities and villages stands at 14, while the second place goes to China, which has only 7 craft cities and villages globally registered.
Handicraft exports from Iran before the coronavirus outbreak reached $146 million in the Persian calendar year, which started in March 2019. Iraq and Persian Gulf littoral countries are among the main target markets for Iranian handicrafts.
Under the 2025 Tourism Vision Plan, the country aims to increase the number of tourist arrivals from 4.8 million in 2014 to 20 million in 2025.
Iran's tourism ministry has proposed travel packages under strict health protocols, with the hope of encouraging people to travel and injecting fresh energy to the tourism industry, especially during the upcoming Nowruz holidays. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
The famous festival marks the final day of the Chinese Lunar New Year celebrations. This year, it fell on Friday. The festival is characterized by a wide range of activities. In eastern China, people make intricate fish lanterns that require exquisite skill to operate. In other parts of the country, celebrators make special buns and shape them like different animals. This year's festivities have brought people joy and lifted their spirits up amid the pandemic.
That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Literacy, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll discuss the 22nd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, or Pilgrimage. Before moving on, let's just listen to some verses of this chapter, and we'll be back with you. Stay with us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده واجتباكم وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج ملة أبيكم إبراهيم هو سماكم المسلمين من قبل وفي هذا ليكون الرسول شهيدا عليكم وتكونوا شهداء على الناس
فأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واعتصموا بالله هو مولاكم فنعم المولى ونعم النصير.
And strive for Allah with the striving due to Him. He has chosen you and has not placed upon you in the religion any difficulty. It is the religion of your father, Abraham. Allah named you Muslims before in former scriptures, and in this revelation that the messenger may be a witness over you, and you may be witnesses over the people. So establish prayer and give zakah and hold fast to Allah. He is your protector, and excellent is the protector. And excellent is the helper.
So we were into the 78th verse of the chapter.
وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعْلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ.
And strive hard in the way of Allah as you ought to strive for Him. He has chosen you and has not laid upon you any hardship in religion. Now, after talking about these instructions, that they are good for us, and they are completely sweet and wholesome, and that we are chosen to have these responsibilities. In the third stage of statement, this holy verse implies that this is the same religion of your father, Abraham. So the verse says, مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, the faith of your father, Abraham. The verse means that the faith of your father Abraham is yours. And the reason why Abraham has been called father is either because the Arabs and Muslims of that day were actually mostly from the seed of Ismail alayhi salam, or it is for the sake that they all considered Abraham very great, and they respected him as a kind of spiritual father, though his pure religion had been polluted by kinds of superstitions. Then, the Holy Quran gives another idea in this field when it says, وَسَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَفِي هَذَا. He named you Muslims, both before and in this book. And a Muslim is the one who has this honor that he is submissive to the whole commandments of the Almighty Allah. So, a true Muslim should not consider that the instructions in this verse are somehow difficulties that the Almighty Allah is giving us apart from responsibilities. He is laying upon us some difficulties in our religion. The commentators are divided in defining the antecedent of the Arabic pronoun huwa. Some of them have said that it returns to Allah, when the verse says huwa sammakumul muslimina min qablu wa fi hadha, this huwa, this he named you Muslims. Anyhow, the ones who say that this returns to Allah, it means that Allah has called you by this honorable name, both in the former books and in the Quran. But some others believe that the word huwa returns to Abraham, because we recite in Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Holy Quran, in the 128th verse, that after finishing the structure of Kaaba, Abraham asked Allah for some things, including this. He said, "Our Lord, make us submissive to you, and of our progeny an ummah submissive to you."
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this
series
of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran. By Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
The Holy Quran says, رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكْ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. Anyway, the first interpretation seems more correct because it adapts the words next to it in the verse, where it says, He named you Muslims, both before and in this book. And this meaning does not fit Abraham, but concerns Allah. At last, the fifth and the last encouraging meaning about the Muslims has been stated here, when it introduces them as the example and paradigm of nations. It says, لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ, that the messenger may be a witness over you. The Arabic word shaheed, in the sense of witness, is derived from shuhud, with the meaning of cognizance accompanied with presence. So this statement means that the Messenger وسلم, being witness over all Muslims, refers to his cognizance about the deeds of his ummah. This commentary quietly adapts to the Islamic narrations concerning the exposition of deeds and some other verses of the Holy Quran referring to this fact. Shortly speaking, according to these narrations, the deeds of all members of Ummah are exposed to the Prophet ﷺ during every week, and his pure soul will be informed of all these things. Based on some other narrations, the deeds of all the people of the Ummah are exposed to the 12th Imam. May the Almighty Allah hasten his auspicious advent. So they are all witnesses over their Ummah. And this Ummah being witness, according to some Islamic narrations, means the immaculate ones of this Ummah, the Imams who are the witnesses over the deeds of the people. We will inshallah talk more about the remaining parts of this verse in the next programs. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Things always worked for me. Why ends when faith begins?
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear listeners, wherever you are, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to answer the questions with regard to theology or whatever goes towards religion and the beliefs of people, specifically the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, in order to discuss these issues with scholars from seminary schools. We have invited Sheikh Murtada Karimi to this session. I'd like to welcome Sheikh to the show and say salam to him.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you for having me.
Thanks for accepting the invitation, Sheikh. The question of the day that we need to discuss it and ask it from the respected guest speaker Sheikh Murtada Kaimi, Islamic scholar from Qom Seminary School, is concerning the Valentine Day, the day of lovers. Sheikhuna, what is the status of such a day in an Islamic environment? Is it accepted by Islam or approved by Islamic worldview? So does it have anything to do with Islamic teachings? And if you shed some light on that, we'd be grateful, Sheikh. And about the history of this event, and where does it go back to? If you give us some information, we'll be thankful.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are different stories about, the Day of Valentine and the history behind that. The most famous one is referring to an event which occurred in the 3rd century AD. Mm-hmm. And in Rome, the ruler of the time, he did not permit the soldiers to get married with the girls that they loved. And the reason for this action was that the single soldiers are able to fight much better than those who are married or those who are going to get married in future. So somehow he was against the marriage and the love between the girls and the soldiers. Then at that time there was a certain Christian priest whose name is Valentine, according to this story, which of course some people call it a myth. Mm-hmm. And secretly he was doing the rituals of marriage between those soldiers and the girls that they loved. So you know that in Christianity they also need to go to church and to a priest to do the formal rituals of marriage. So this priest known as Valentine, he was the one who used to do that privately.
Yeah.
But later the ruler of the time came to know about that, and he imprisoned Valentine, and then finally because of his crime he was killed. That is why the 14th of February is known as the Valentine, or the Day of the Love, or lovers. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, many people believe that it is just a myth and it has no reality in the history. But anyway, right now we have it. 14th of February is known as the Day of Valentine, and the girls and the boys who are going to get married, or they're just boyfriends and girlfriends, it's a day for them to show their love for each other. But what is the take and the viewpoint of Islam regarding the Day of the Lovers and Valentine? The point is that when we think more deeply, we come to this conclusion that this Western culture is not only about showing love to the one that you love, but sometimes we need to think more deeply about the customs which are to begin with, they are Western cultures. And to come to this understanding that in a long term, it's not only about showing love to the one that you love. Rather, gradually, the other customs which are there among the Westerners, they also come among and they, find their ways into the Islamic communities and Muslim youth as well.
Very true.
So it may begin from, giving some gifts. So Muslims may do the same thing which is done by the Western people, who might not be even Christians. They do not have any religion. And then we may have the concept of having boyfriend and girlfriends, which again is a Western culture, and it is against the Islamic values and Islamic laws. When the boy and the girl, they are not mahram to each other and they only friends. So you see, my point is that it's not only a day for showing love. When we think more deeply, we see that in the long term, it's not going about showing love. Mm-hmm.
Sheikh, it might be asked that what's the problem if a boy sends or gives a gift to a girl? Even if they are not mahram to each other, is there any problem if they send a gift to each other or take a gift from each other?
So when you're talking about based on the Islamic laws, yes, it is problematic, and almost all the Shia jurists, they believe that as long as they are not mahram to each other, they cannot do that. Yes, sometimes, I mean, they are going to get married in the future. The families, they know about that, especially the family of the girl. They know about this fact. They, I mean,